kind of revamp a little bit. Didn't use it up. We was in the 8th chapter, and I want to say a little bit more about it. As I've said, Proverbs is a book that's spoken of as a book of wisdom. Solomon wrote it. It has to do with discerning right and wrong and the consequences of good and bad decisions. And the word wisdom, very big in the book. The Bible tells us in James 1, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom is personified. Now, what I mean by that, it's spoken of as though it were an individual or a person. And in a sense, it is. Now, while it is put in the female gender, we also find that it is pictured and typified by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll move to that in just a minute. I want to say this. Folks, we're in a time when real wisdom, not just facts, because the facts are everywhere, and they're perverted and twisted, and you don't know. You need wisdom to discern the truth, to know the difference. It's one thing to have facts. It's something else to know what to do with them or to even judge them, whether it is a fact or not. I think President contender Biden said he was, how do you say that? He said, we're not going with the facts, we're going with the truth. Now somebody needs to tell him they're one and the same, if it's really true and it's a fact, you know, but anyway. He really said that. I mean, right on the news there. One thing about the day and age, everything's on tape. You might say you didn't, but they may have you on tape proving you did. Amen. But anyway, I really believe after this election, things are not going to get, you know, we'd like to think they're going to get better. I think what we're going to see is they could get worse or worser. I'm giving you another word, but I'm saying to the degree. I think if Trump wins, I sure hope he does, it's still going to be bad. But if he don't, it's going to be that worser I just invented. Amen. Truth is, I really believe that. A lot of stuff coming down the pike. A lot of bad stuff. Got this this afternoon, and he'd sent a little video to my wife's phone when I got home. I looked at it. This is from my brother Andy Wilson, and he's out there in California on the cutting edge and knowing some things. And he sent a little video of a lady doctor. She's been in it 19 years, and she was talking about it. And then it's a little bit of a printout, not all of it for, by any means. I want to just give you, this is what I'm talking about. We're going to need wisdom to deal with this kind of stuff. The good news seems to be, well, we're getting some vaccines. Well, we're going to have to discern even between the vaccines. And I've talked to you before about some of this. And there's some forces out there that want to use the vaccine to help depopulate the earth. They literally think it's overpopulated and it's up to them to help kill us off. And so we got to be wise about some of this stuff. Even what seems good sometime is not good. I'm hoping that we do get a good vaccine, but what we really need is a vaccine against fear. Not again, not the virus, but the fear that's been created all around it. But anyway, this doctor here, Dr. Kerry Magill, I guess it is, internal medicine specialist, for 19 years, she put out a video here, and here's a little bit of it. Now, I've spoke to this a little bit on Sunday night to you, a time or two. The Bill Gates Foundation, of course, is involved in big, more millions than we can imagine involved in this stuff. And they have an enzyme, I'll call it an enzyme. They've actually named it, and it's publicly, the name is, they're not trying to hide the name. The name is Lucifer Is, or A's. Word Lucifer, just like spelled in your King James Bible. By the way, not in the New Versions, but in the King James Bible, Lucifer. They try to actually deceive, and even NIV tries to mix him up with Jesus. But Lucifer is the word you have in the King James Bible. So he's added A-S-E on the end of it, and naming it as an ensign, but the word Lucifer just jumps right off the page at you. And it's a bioluministic, in other words, like in illuminating, or like a luminous light. That's part of it. And I've talked to you about that before. Actually, if you took it, you'd put it sort of like a Band-Aid, peeling off a Band-Aid and stick it on. And then when you pulled off the top of it, the little points, little fine points, would be so impressed in your skin, they say it won't hurt. But then when this gadget, they say you can do it with a cell phone. I'll read it here in just a moment. If you got the right kind of cell phone, you can pass it over it, and then you can read the numbers and so forth. All of this is not theoretical. They already got it. And that's what this doctor's saying. Already got it. It's now. Here's the word this doctor's using. She's concerned about the transhuman agenda behind the push for the COVID vaccine and the biological, legal, and spiritual ramifications of it. The hydrogel would also contain luciferase enzyme, which is a bioluminous and is used to report the transcriptional activity in cells that are transfected with a genetic construct. She says they want to make sure that you're vaccinated. They don't trust the medical records, or you saying so. They've got to be able to scan it and see that you've had it. They want to make sure that it was successful. A successful gene modification. I'm trying to skip some of it, but if you have an iPhone or a special app on the phone, you can scan over that area and it will give a digital code, a digital imprint, a digital pattern, something that will identify that you were vaccinated. It holds your vaccination record. It also gives you an ID number. Ever heard of that? A barcode, Brandon, whatever you want to call it, or tattoo, whatever you want to call it. And she says, I see so many wrong things with this vaccine, and I see that we are not talking about it in the major media, and I see all these companies lining up to be the first, one get ahead of the other. They're outright lying to us, she says. They say they cannot, that it will not affect our DNA, but she says it will affect our DNA, and she is giving a warning. Now, you remember I read a warning from Matt Staver, our attorney with the Liberty Council, some time back. In fact, may still have it in my Bible here somewhere. Now, there's never been a time when there's more deception. I've said this age before Jesus comes could be labeled the age of deception. It is on every hand. And so they'll take something good. See, like right now, everybody wants to cooperate, wear a mask or social distance or whatever, you know. But the government has got us doing things. So when this vaccine comes out, and if they try to make it mandatory, and if they can mandatory make you wear a mask, they'd mandatory make you take the vaccine. And if you can't go in a store and buy or sell unless it lights up that you've been vaccinated, do you see all I'm talking to you about? Now, this book of Proverbs tells us, ask God, that we need God's wisdom. Boy, we do need it. And the wisdom's in the book. You and I, of God's people, we're the ones that should not be fooled. But with the fear that we have seen in the last few months, I fear that God's people is going to be right lined up fearing just as much as everybody else. A lot to pray about, folks. A lot to be on guard about. And he said, well, how can I be fortified against it? The more you know the Lord, the closer you live to him, the more you know his word, the less the world's going to fool you. And the further you are from him, the more you're going to buy into what everything that comes along. And every wind of doctrine that blows. There is a motive. The motive is to kill off the population, control it. And when I mean control, I mean it will come to the place that you'll have to almost have a license to live past a certain age. Or you'll have to have a degree of health. And when that health begins to show up on the records that you're fading, they're not going to put you in nursing homes and spend millions of dollars on you to keep you alive a couple more years. They're going to let you go quick. Euthanasia will be a big, big deal. So we believe we're close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we can't guarantee that the Lord's going to come next year or the next. So we still have to contend for the faith at once delivered to the saints and hold the ground and try to win everybody that we possibly can. That's God's plan. But also know that as we see these things approaching, and as Hebrews 10:25 says, as we see the day approaching, and we do see it approaching, that we ought to be wise. I was telling the teachers a while ago when I come in the office, somebody had printed off a note that came in over the wire. A lady really fussing at us big time because our soul winners was out knocking doors this afternoon. And these kids knocked on her door and didn't have a mask on. And so she was terribly, terribly offended by that. And so she's letting us know. That sort of stuff is going to increase to the place. We're liable to meet folks right outside our door trying to keep us from coming in our church building because they've bought the whole lock, stock, and barrel of the fear thing and think they're doing good with that sort of thing. Can you imagine if there was no rapture, how bad it would get in the tribulation period? Well, we're going to get out of here before then, I believe that. But I don't know how close we're going to come, how bad things are going to get first. I don't know. But I just know that we better seek God's wisdom so we're not too far off from what Proverbs is telling us to do. And I'm going to ask you to go back. I know I covered right on up at least half the chapter. And I want to review just a little bit. I want you to go to verse 11 in Proverbs chapter 8. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Now, we don't generally think of that. If somebody said, okay, here's wisdom, and here's $1,000, which one would you pick up? Well, the truth is, we're always making a choice between material things and what God said about things. And wisdom's better than rubies. We move on down, says in verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Now, it takes wisdom to know the difference between good and evil. Moving on down a little bit, wisdom begins to sound like a person talking. And it says, by me, in verse 16, princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. He's saying the princes, the judges, the wise people. Wisdom is personified as a woman here. A little bit of a switch to it in a minute. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Now, yes, that's true of God, but it's also true of wisdom, to seek wisdom. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches. Look how the Bible can say so much with one word, durable riches. Not just riches, durable. Not temporary, durable. Something that lasts. That's the difference in God's riches and the world's riches. And love of money today behind all evil, the Bible says. Somebody said, easy come, easy go with money. And I've seen that sort of thing happen. but durable riches, something that lasts and has some value to it in the long run. It says, my fruit is better than gold, verse 19, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I, talking about wisdom, wisdom now, lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, judgment meaning what is right and fair, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now, even in material gain in this world, it still pays to walk in wisdom, God's wisdom, because you have his promises. When I was a kid, every little comic book we'd read, and we didn't have TVs, so we had comic books, kids, the theme of it was crime don't pay. They were working on trying to get young people to live right. Well, that sure changed. you got young folks watching TV and watching the pictures on their phone and all. They're wanting to be like what they see, and what they see is bad. You're being deceived. I'd like to live that life. Well, that's exactly the bait to get you into it, to hurt yourself. Now, it does pay to serve God. I believe this, folks. I believe after we're saved, God is pleased for us to live right. Then he'll supply our needs, teach our kids right, raise our families, true to our husband and wife. All of that has God's blessing on it. And while it rains on the just and unjust alike, it is easy to see the hand of God in some people's lives and know that God has blessed them. It's all right to claim God's blessings and count them. Don't ignore them. Thank him for them. It was obvious to the people in Job's day that God had blessed him. It was even obvious to the devil. And it still is obvious today that it pays to serve God. At the end of the book of Malachi, the Jewish nation was questioning whether or not it paid to serve God. But it does, and real experience of life will show that. I want you to notice, and I'm going to run through these verses a little bit. I want you to watch it switch now to where, while wisdom is personified in the female gender, all of a sudden, and the Bible's like no other book. You can have two tracks running, not opposite each other, but complementing each other. And that's what we have in these verses. Now it'll switch to tell you something about the Lord Jesus himself. If you very quickly were to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Lord tells us over there, you know, how that the wise of the world is foolish in God's eyes, and that after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. That's 1 Corinthians 1:21. For time's sake, go on down in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ. Now, talking to saved people, church at Corinth. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God. Now, here's the part to get. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Who's made unto us wisdom? Jesus. Jesus Christ. Ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. You say, well, I don't have a degree in science. Do you have a degree in Jesus? You want some real wisdom that's from God, then you get it through Jesus. Amen? And I come back then to chapter 8 in Proverbs, and then I follow it as though wisdom here was Jesus. And it tells me something. Look at it, verse 22, chapter 8 of Proverbs. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. Who did he possess? Well, Jesus. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or even the earth was. We could say that about wisdom, but wisdom is Jesus. So what we begin to study here is begin to see Jesus with God before the world began, with God when he done all these things. See it in verse 24. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. when there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Who was there? Well, Jesus was there. See, he didn't start in a manger in Bethlehem. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. Who's it talking about? Jesus, John chapter 1. Who's it talking about here then as it switches over? Yes, wisdom was with God, but Jesus is made unto us wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1 says, when he prepared the heavens, verse 27, I was there. Yes, you read in the book of Genesis, when God said, let us make man. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity was there in the creation. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. When he established the clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. When he gave to the sea his decree. Now, what decree did he give to the sea? Well, here it is in the verse. That the water should not pass his commandment when he appointed the foundations of the earth. Did you ever ask yourself the question, how come the ocean don't just keep coming? You understand that it has a decree put on it so far and no further? More water. Fishermen can tell you there's more water on earth than land. That's why they justify fishing more than working. Right? But there is more water on planet Earth than land. And why does it stop? I've read where the science book said, well, we think the sand stops it. Well, who put the sand there? No, I tell you what stops it. The Word of God stops it. The Word of God said this far, no further. And so there it is. Oh, we have a storm and it blows the waves in, but it goes back to the same level, don't it? Goes right on back. God's got a decree on it. He's got a command on it that it has to follow. And so he says there was a decree that the water should not pass his commandment when he appointed the foundation of the earth. Then, still in the context, verse 30, then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Yes, that's the Lord Jesus Christ who has made unto us wisdom. So wisdom is personified, and here it also pictures Jesus going back before we could even imagine. He says in verse 31, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth. Do you ever think about there's a lot of this earth that you can't hardly live on? Too cold or whatever. But there's a part of it that we can inhabit, we can live on. So the Word of God is so close and accurate here. He says, and my delights were with the sons of men. When God created man, Jesus was there, of course. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. There it is. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me. If blessed is the man that heareth me, how about the ones that won't hear him? They're not blessed then. Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post, and the men he's saying that's waiting on me, at my gate as it were, concerned about it, right outside my door. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me, wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. And the final end come, all that is fulfilled. But it's interesting as you go through the Word of God, the book of wisdom tells us to seek wisdom, tells us who our wisdom is, tells us that he was with God from the very beginning on, places our mind can not even go back to. So as we move into these trying times, and they are trying times, and they may even get worse in the next few weeks, let's hold on to what God told us was the right paths, and let our wisdom come from him, and be very very careful with the world. There's a lot of God's people, I'm talking about Christians that may not be as fundamental as us or separated as us or believe exactly like us, but they believe the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. There's a lot of them right now that are getting greatly concerned because they realize something big may be about to happen. This Saturday, the 26th, you've already seen this perhaps, Franklin Graham's going to be leading a prayer march right there down the street in Washington, I think from the Washington Monument to the White House or something. Jonathan Cain, that's not right. Say his name, somebody. The Jewish man that pointed out some deep truths. Kahn, is that the way you say it? Jonathan Kahn, all right. He's going to, on this coming Saturday, the 26th, he's going to be having a big rally. I saw a thing today, I mean, a pile of numbers of people that profess to be Christians are going to be there. And for you folks that can pull it up and look at it, the way you find it, it's thereturn.org. Thereturn.org. Sister Janet pulled it up on the computer for me this afternoon. I glanced at it just a little bit. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but here's what's good about it. They're saying America's in trouble. And Franklin Graham is saying if we don't pray. In other words, they know something big is on the horizon. We ought to know that. We ought not be deceived and sleep during these days. We ought to pray for our nation, and don't get mad at me when I say some of the stuff I do about it, because we're not going to hide our head in the sand. We're going to face up to what is going on and what is real. That'll be interesting stuff maybe this Saturday. I hope they get a good witness and a good testimony in there. I hope so. See, the bottom line is getting folks saved while there's a little time left and staying true ourselves, not being deceived ourselves. Amen. All right, I'm going to ask we stand. I think the young people were out soul winning this afternoon. I did get a complaint.